know Pastor Lawrence through our Trinity Fellowship Association of Churches. He has been a pastor at Destiny Church in Oklahoma City, and I encourage you, if you're ever in Oklahoma City over the weekend, go to their church. It's a phenomenal church. It also has a Christian school there. He was actually the principal there for 10 years, is that right? And then became pastor. And so he's been pastoring, been at the church for 32 years, but pastoring for the past 22 there at Destiny Church. And I got to know him, like I said, through our monthly meetings that we have with pastors. And then I found out that he has another meeting where he's connected with people all over the globe, really, in the body of Christ. It's very apostolic and prophetic. It's called All Nations. And so I've been attending their Zoom meetings that they have twice a month. And I'm going to tell you guys, God can do great things through Zoom. We had a Fuel the Fire conference at his church here a few weeks ago. And I'm telling you, just the impartation that I have received through being under his ministry, but also being a part of their Zoom, being connected with people all over the globe, hearing about what God's doing in the body of Christ everywhere. And it's just been, I can't wait for y'all to hear this man of God. Here's what I want you to do, though. You know, we're going to receive his ministry today, but we're going to pull everything that he's got out of him. So you're going to have to amen him, clap, get him fired up, okay? Because he's got a lot to deliver. And every time I get around him, my hunger and thirst for God increases. That's the kind of people I want to hang around. That's also the kind of people I want to bring into our house, too. So I want you to give a warm Harvest Fellowship Church welcome to Pastor Lawrence Neeson. And then also I'm going to introduce his wife, Tracy. Tracy, would you stand up? She's actually a lawyer, and if you need a lawyer up, she's your lawyer in Oklahoma City. And then there's Lexi and Faith, their daughters. So I want everybody to meet them after church this morning. So Pastor Lawrence, I'm going to turn it over to you. You bet you. Love you, brother.
Well, really thankful to be here with you all. And Pastor Mark and Jada just have become good friends to us, and we have really appreciated the heart they carry for the Lord and agree for healing and wellness in her body, in Jesus' name. You guys got it going on out here. It took us a while to get out here, and when we pulled up, I said, man, look at this church. This is great. We come in, listen to this worship. Like, you guys are really, you're going places for Jesus, aren't you? There really is something of atmosphere that I think is important for us to look at today and address together. I will mention do I need to adjust this at all, or am I good? I will just mention one of our two girls actually worked all night long in the emergency room at Children's Hospital, and she got off work at 3 a.m., went to bed. She got home close to 4, went to bed for just about an hour and a half, and then she got up and finished packing. We're going to New Mexico after we leave here. So I won't mention to you which one it is, and you can just see if you can figure out if one of them starts nodding off, or you see me come over here and preach a little louder because I notice that they're sleeping. You'll kind of know what's going on. We'll see if you can figure out which one is pulled the all-nighter. I want you to imagine with me, if you would, just what if you lived in the atmosphere of heaven on earth as your everyday lifestyle? I want you to think about what that might be like. And then as we're reflecting on that, let's just take a moment and pray, really interested in more than anything, that we would encounter the Lord. You know, we say often at Destiny, it's just not about coming to hear a speaker. It's about gathering to encounter the Savior. It's not about experiencing the worship. It's about encountering God. So can we just incline our hearts in that direction? Lord, you are the star of the show. You're the reason we have come together. I thank you. Your voice is increasing in clarity in our lives in this season of the church. And I pray that today, Lord, that we would activate that even on a deeper level, just I pray that there would just be such a sense of what you're desiring to say as a result of our coming together as we look into your word. Let there just be some rich deposits of the Spirit of God placed within each and every one of us. We would all grow deeper in our hunger for you as a result of just our few moments that we have together as a family. And we thank you, Lord, just for that family revelation that you are our Father, that we are brothers and sisters, and there's an atmosphere of family, the family of God, that releases something profound and significant in the earth. So grant us wisdom, Lord, to embrace that, to walk that out. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So how many of you here would say you have a praying grandma? Can I see you had a praying grandma? Maybe she's in heaven now. You know what that is. How many of you here are praying grandmas? Can I just see? It's interesting to think about what happens when somebody has been praying for you for a long period of time consistently. Like, how many of you believe your life's more enriched? If you could just think about, you know, we kind of skipped a generation in my family. My great-grandmother, her name was Bertha, and I knew her just for a few years of my life as a child before she graduated to be with the Lord. But her daughter, my grandmother, didn't really walk with God. She wasn't a godly example. Somehow that chain was broken. But my great-grandmother, Bertha, took my mom, Darla, to church when she was a little kid, and it activated something in her. Now, I was going to break the chain myself, and I got off into all kinds of things. My dad was a wild character. He had 100 jobs the first 20 years of my life. So you can equate that's 5 different jobs a year. We were moving all over the place. I was born up in the Seattle area, have lived in South Dakota, all over Oklahoma. Just a lot of instability. My name was New Kid in school as much as it was Lawrence. And I just kind of came by that instability by watching my dad and his rhythm of life, if you will, just a little bit. I'm going to give you these. Thank you. But I watched as he perpetuated this instability. He was involved in drugs. He was involved in crime. I got involved in drugs. I overdosed 2 times as a young man, not serving the Lord. I actually played lead guitar in metal bands in the 80s. Now, I know you're going to have a hard time envisioning it with the crop that I have right now, but I actually once had a 2-tone mullet on my head. It was fantastic. If I could sport it today, I would still do it, but things just change over the course of time. And so I overdosed 2 different times and came to the realization in that world and in that life of just how empty it was until I finally met the Lord Jesus Christ and everything about my life began to be changed. The interesting thing was we then started praying consistently for my dad. Anybody here have family members that are not saved? And so my dad, you know, he was like way out there. Nobody thought he would get saved. When people came to witness at my house, my dad would he'd be very, very mean to them. And as a kid, I watched that, and it just kind of made me turn off any type of interest in religion because I saw the way my dad treated those kind of people. And so my mom and I, once I became a Christian, I mean, that was a shocker, you know, that I came to know the Lord with all the nonsense I was in. But my mom and I started saying, you know what, if God can reach into my heart, maybe he can reach into my dad's heart, her husband's heart. And so we began to fast and pray on Fridays, believing for his salvation. And within about 18 months, he came to know the Lord as well. My mom and dad actually attend the church that I pastor still to this day in Oklahoma City. I just want to encourage you to know God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all you can ask or imagine. And I feel there's something I'm carrying right now in our midst. You realize I'm not your motivational speaker of the day. We're really just exploring what's God trying to do as a result of our coming together. And I feel there's an assignment I'm carrying to awaken an atmosphere that actually releases God's kingdom, not only in your hearts, but in your homes and in the region that you are in. Because if you think about maybe a grandmother who's been praying every week, she purposes to pray, like we were on that Friday for my dad, something started changing in his heart. Isn't that interesting? It was the atmosphere of heaven getting stronger in his life. He found himself more attentive to what God was trying to reveal. And I'm just going to say to you, some of you, this is your year for household salvation. I just want to agree, not only is it going to rain physically, we'll just declare that in Jesus' name, but we're believing God for rain spiritually. If God can save me, if God can save my dad, if God can save some of you. How many of you were Yahoos before you came to know the Lord? Like whatever Yahoo means, I don't know. But you needed Jesus real bad, and now here you are. If he can reach into your heart, you understand he can reach into the hearts and lives of others, but not just sitting back hoping that happens, actually being a part of the equation by beginning to target somebody by name and pray for them, fast and pray, seek the Lord, get in a prayer of agreement, and just see what God might do. Now, if that can happen in the course of time with my dad, you know, 18 months, with a praying grandmother or grandfather, over the course of 20 years, let's just call it 22 years, every week they pray, how many of you believe your life would be more enriched by the prayers of your grandparent over the course of 22 years praying every single week? The thing that I feel like I need to share with you is that you guys have been here for 22 years in ministry. Some of you maybe have been here that full time. But there is something of a regional atmosphere. As soon as I began praying about, and Pastor Mark and I were talking about my coming, as soon as I started praying into what I felt like the Lord was doing here, I just immediately sensed the Lord saying that he is releasing something to the regional atmosphere of this community through your lives, through your church. What does it do to a region for a group of believers to get together week after week after week for 22 years praying and worshiping and pressing in, inviting God to come? Do you understand? He actually does come when we invite him to come. He promises to do that. And when he shows up, he's not just showing up for me. He's not just showing up for you. He's not just showing up for us. He's actually showing up in the region, like the atmosphere, the spiritual. Do you understand the spiritual atmosphere of this whole area is impacted because you worship the Lord together? I mean, are we all on the same page to recognize that? It's more than our religious thing where we're just coming and we're, you know, just spending time trying to be good, morally, you know, upright people. It's about really being the gateway of God that he defines us as in Psalms chapter 24. The Bible actually says, lift up your head, Psalm 24:7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Now, let me ask this question. How many of you ever thought to yourself, God, would you just open the gates? Lord, I'm ready for you to open the gates. I mean, have you ever thought that before? You ready for the blessing of the Lord? Open your gates, Lord. Open the gates. The Bible actually says you are the gates. What that means is you have an active role in the kingdom of God being released in the earth. We're sometimes waiting on God while God sometimes is waiting on us. You know who the light of the world is? His name is Jesus, but also we are the light of the world. The Bible says he's the light of the world. The Bible says we are the light of the world. So what gives? It's a cooperative collaboration. You didn't get saved by yourself, but you were a part of that equation. You gave your heart to Christ by responding to what God was doing in that moment. God's been doing something in the earth long before these 22 years we're talking about existed. How many of you know? God's been at work for generations prior to us. Amazing things have been unfolding in the world that you and I live in over the course of time, and we need to recognize what he's trying to do. What God is trying to do is activate an ancient well of deposits that existed before our praying grandmothers and praying grandfathers actually even lived, all the way back to Jacob's well in the earth, Abraham, where God began to call Abraham and release something. You and I are heirs of this lineage of promise that came through Abraham. I mean, we have this incredible, incredible legacy to draw from. Sometimes I just say, Lord, I know as poor as my great-grandmother Bertha was, I know she was faithful to give in her church. It's a beautiful thing to think about. And because of that, how many of you know God's blessing was assigned to her life, and she then, as a part of my legacy, that blessing then belongs to me. And I call that down on my life. But I go past great-great-grandma to like great men and women of faith who paid a price to see God's kingdom be opened up in the earth. You and I actually have the right to call down those blessings that they paid a price for so that the kingdom of God would continue to expand throughout all the ages and all the generations. This is a great responsibility that we have. We're not here serving our little purpose in time with no connection to what God's been doing throughout all the ages. How many of you were born in the 1900s? Raise your hand if you were born in the 1900s. That's before the year 2000. You understand that century, I haven't started preaching yet. I'm just talking groundwork so that we can get there, okay? So don't hold it against me, the time here. I know I have till 2 o'clock, Pastor Mark said. And that makes everybody so nervous when I make a joke like that. But if you're born in the 1900s, what you need to understand is the 1900s, historically speaking, I'm not talking about religious historians, but all historians would recognize this. The 1900s or the 20th century is actually known as the century of the Holy Spirit. Are you aware of that? That means like in 1900, there were virtually nobody on the planet claiming a Pentecost baptized in the Holy Spirit experience. That wasn't anything that really existed. Anybody heard of Azusa Street? And Azusa Street emerged, and then that was just one of many of these fiery revivals that started breaking out. The Welsh Revival, I mean, all these things emerging all over the world. It was just phenomenal what started happening. And millions until hundreds of millions of people in the course of the 20th century started claiming a Pentecost experience. Now, this is wild, and how many of you believe this is all part of God's plan? Like, if you think back before the 20th century, God was at work, and then He chose the century that would be called the century of the Holy Spirit to be the century when you and I would be born. Now, that's an important part of our legacy and what God's doing in the church. And so then halfway through the century, something wild started happening. It was actually in the late 1940s. The whole atomic bomb had taken place and been developed, and it captivated the world's attention. And there's this guy who wrote a book, and it's called The Atomic Power of Fasting and Prayer. And because the atomic bomb had held so many people's attention, this book took off like wildfire. And the whole world, like Christians all around the world, read this book and they began to catch the essence of what could happen if we began not only to pray, but to fast and pray. And there were these prolonged fasts that were mobilized all around the world. It just started happening all over the world. There was a prayer movement. Interestingly, it was just about that time, right after that, Israel then was born as a nation. I'm just giving you a little history lesson of what God's been doing. And isn't it interesting that Israel's born as a nation out of a time of fasting and prayer? And then suddenly, amazing gifts start emerging out of the body of Christ. Anybody heard of Oral Roberts, Billy Graham? I mean, Catherine Kuhlman. If you start thinking, just I could name after name, T.L. Osborne. They all emerged right about this same time. What do you think was happening? The church was mobilized to begin to fast and pray, and the atmosphere of heaven started to invade the earth, and gifts that existed within humanity started being awakened and activated. And I'm calling forth that atmosphere today in Jesus' mighty name, not just in this room, but in this region. There are people waking up to the purposes of God, and you and I have a role to play in this. And in the 1950s, in this particular decade of the last half of the century of the Holy Spirit, evangelists were born and awakened like you'd never seen or known. All these names I mentioned to you, that all happened in the 1950s. And then in the 1960s, the pastoral dynamic started being activated and awakened. And prior to the 1960s, the pastors were just kind of seen as stewards of the ministry or kind of like chaplains that were kind of around those that would be believers. But in the 1960s, there began to be an established authority of the office of the pastor that would mobilize and release the church. And then in the 1970s, this continued as amazing teaching ministries started to emerge out of the 1970s, and names that we would all know as teachers of the word began to be born out of that. In the 1980s, this phenomenal prophetic movement, as the prophetic started being awakened in the world. I mean, the charismatic movement, Catholic. Tracy and I went to an event at a Catholic church, and the guy was speaking in tongues. The father, he was swinging the smoke, speaking in tongues, and he pointed to the Virgin Mary statue. Like, we're not Catholic. I didn't even know what Catholics believe. And he pointed to the Virgin Mary statue. He said, "Don't mind her. She spoke in tongues also." And I'm just sitting there like, what in the world is going on right now? And this was all emerging in the 80s, where the prophetic mantle of the body of Christ was being established. And then in the 90s, the apostolic mantle began to be awakened. I mean, I could give you details of this. I've been studying this out recently. Here's the point. We were born, many of us were born in the century of the Holy Spirit. In the latter part of the century, God began to awaken the supernatural gifts to be released in the body of Christ. And now we've stepped in to the next century, where there truly is an apostolic authority that God is releasing in the earth that is awakening every single gift in the body of Christ to a new dimension of supernatural power. And I'm here today to tell you, I'm not interested in giving you a nice, sweet little message. I want to awaken something within you, that you will be men and women of the Spirit, men and women who carry the fire of God in a profound and significant way to the world around you. This is the atmosphere of heaven that begins to invade our hearts, that begins to impact this room, that begins to transform this region. This is who you are. Luke chapter 18. I'm ready to start preaching. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. You doing all right, Faith? She's the one. She's got her pen out, writing, journal, keeping her hand busy. It's good. Luke 18, verse 1. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. It's a simple little verse. Jesus is teaching a principle that is incredibly significant. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. So, in the beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, the Bible says he breathed life into Adam. Have you read that before? The breath of God actually awakened Adam, taking him from clay or dirt or body into existence of living, breathing humanity. And it's interesting, but in the Hebrew language, the word ruach, it's actually the word that translates spirit. It also translates breath of air. Or current of air, breath. Breath and spirit, the same. And then if you study this out in the New Testament, what you'll find in the New Testament in Greek, same thing. Greek word pneuma. It translates spirit. It also translates breath. And this is what I've learned about the spirit. Prayer is to the spirit what air is to the body. Prayer is to the spirit what air is to the body. And I love that some Hebrew scholars have pointed out the word Yahweh when pronounced correctly. And I'm no scholar on these things that I'm mentioning to you at all. But when pronounced correctly, the name Yahweh actually is the sound of breath. I love this for a number of reasons. But Yahweh, you've probably seen it spelled, you know, missing a letter, out of reverence to God, right? And even pronouncing the name Yahweh would be a violation to protocol among Jews, because the name is too sacred to announce. The name is too sacred to spell out. And on one hand, the reality is Yahweh is too sacred to pronounce. On the other hand, Yahweh, every breath you've ever taken, you were actually saying his name. The first breath you took when you were born was the name of God. The last breath you will ever take when you leave this earth will be the name of God. Every breath in between will be the name of God. Do you understand our design is to commune with God in such a way that actually breathing and praying correlate so well together? He wants to awaken something within us where we're just walking in this atmosphere. And atmosphere really matters when you get the atmosphere of your life right. We have a swimming pool at our house, and we were gone for an extended trip. And when we came home, I walked out into the backyard, and I looked, and Satan had entered our swimming pool, and algae was everywhere. It was green. Anybody ever have this happen before? It was demonic. I mean, it was just the devil right there. Algae in the swimming pool is not from God. I'll tell you that right now. And I grabbed a brush, and in the name of the Lord, I scrubbed that demonic algae off the side of the pool. I was sweating, but I got it all conquered in the name of the Lord. I felt like a mighty man of God. And I mean, it was once again clean, and the algae was gone until just a few weeks later. And guess what showed up again? Anyone ever try to conquer the devil and he keep coming back over and over? And so I had to get out there and scrub that thing again. Third time I scrubbed it, I realized, you know, the problem probably isn't the algae needing to be scrubbed. The problem might be the atmosphere of the water. And when I got the atmosphere of the water right, I no longer had to scrub the algae off the side of the pool. And what happens in many of our lives as Christians, we don't get the spiritual atmosphere of our life right, and we're contending with all these behaviors and mindsets and attitudes, and we're scrubbing the sides of our soul, kind of really working hard, working up a sweat to scrub the sides of our soul and just be as clean as possible. And the Lord's just saying, I just want to draw you into a proper atmosphere where the stuff that shouldn't grow won't grow, and the stuff that should grow will grow. And I happen to look over and see this is a great place to grow. God wants to establish an atmosphere that is a great place to grow. God wants to give an atmosphere in this house that becomes a place that automatically activates that which is spiritual in people's lives when they experience what you carry. When we start to get this atmosphere right, we really start to understand what our devotion life is about. Prayer in the Word. It's not just religious obligation. It's practicing His presence. I've started in my devotion time, we do something called turn the page, and we're thinking a lot in terms of legacy. In fact, we invented this idea. Tracy and I came up with this idea when we wanted our daughters, when they were age 12-ish. One was 12, one was 13. We wanted them to have their own relationship with the Bible and their own relationship with God. We travel all over the place, and it's been great. We've seen lots of places internationally with the girls in ministry endeavors. It's been wonderful experience for our family. But they can't live their faith and their life on what we believe in the Lord. They have to have their own. And so we just got them nice Bibles when they were just becoming teens, and we said, listen, you're not, and I want to just make sure we all understand this when we're talking about air and prayer and atmosphere, you are not a human being having a spiritual experience. You are a spiritual being having a human experience. You need to understand that. We don't live enough in light of eternity, and we live too much in light of the temporal. Because we process even our religious ideologies through the concept that we're a human being having a spiritual experience, and that's not true. Everybody is going to live forever. Everybody on the planet is going to live forever. Where you live forever is determined by the decision you make in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a very important decision we're talking about. And so in working with our girls, we just said, look, there's sometimes you're going to read your Bible and you're not going to understand, but don't stop reading just because your mind doesn't comprehend, because you're a spirit person having a human experience. And so even like, all you do is you start in the book of Genesis and you write the date at the top of the page. Genesis 1 in the beginning is a great place to start. And every day turn one page. And after you turn that page, just stop, journal, maybe write some things there. Tracy does this Bible journaling stuff with all of our school students and our church. And I mean, just whatever you want to write in there. You know, this is like where great-grandma actually goes through her whole Bible, Genesis to Revelation. Can you imagine how you would treat a book if this were a Bible that had been handed down four generations and you were holding this in your hand? How would you treat it? It'd be a treasure. How many of you have that? Anybody? Four generations, you've got it in your hand? You've got one? It's a treasure. Most of us don't have it, but all of us four generations later can leave it if we're willing to do it. You understand what I'm saying? And so just every day one page, even Leviticus, like you don't even understand some of this stuff in Leviticus. Anybody here read Leviticus, you're just like, oh yeah, okay, that was not very rewarding to the brain. But you're feeding your spirit. And the girls did this like at early teens, and now they're in their 20s and have read through the scripture a few times. I'm amazed how many people in our church have been in church all their lives and they've never read the entirety of scripture. There's something there that God wants to awaken in the atmosphere of your life where you're breathing in what the Lord is desiring to reveal. And I'm learning in the mornings when I'm taking time to pray, I just pause for a few moments and just begin to listen and say, Lord, I'm about to read. I don't want to just read the book. I want to sit with the author. I want to encounter God. Would you just reveal what's on your heart today? And so many times when I write before I read, I write the very thing I'm about to read. So many times when I write before I read, it makes me read what I'm about to read from an entirely different perspective. I mean, how many of you know this is a great place to practice the presence of God? I'm doing it right now. I'm kind of far from my notes. But I'm just paying attention because I don't want to be here to preach you up. I want to be here to encounter God. I was sitting with my mom last week at a restaurant, and we just were talking, and I quoted some line out of a movie. Don't even know what the name of the movie was. As soon as I said the line, I could tell by the look on her face she had no idea what I was talking about. And I said, I'm quoting a movie. You don't recognize that? And she goes, no, I don't. And I said, it's from, and as soon as I fought to tell her the name of the movie and couldn't remember the movie, the Holy Spirit said to me in the atmosphere of this restaurant, the man sitting next to you at the table to your right is about to say the name of this movie. And I just sat there looking at my mom, realizing God had just spoken this to me, and I looked over at this guy, and I'm telling you, he was leaned down eating, and when I looked over, after I looked over, he looked up, and he said, Blazing Saddles, and he put his hand back down. And I was just like, what? What's it like to live our lives in the atmosphere of heaven on earth? What's it like? Anyone who claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did, 1 John chapter 2. How did Jesus walk? Everywhere Jesus went, we read about him looking up to heaven. It's like he goes to Lazarus' death, and what does he do? He looks up to heaven before he calls him out of the tomb. He feeds the 5,000, and what does he do? He looks up to heaven before he breaks the bread. What's he doing? Constantly getting the Father's perspective that's not limited to the circumstances around him. I know COVID has come through. I know Russia has invaded Ukraine. I know there's inflation. Is anybody looking up to see what God has to say in a moment like this? Because we're not called to stand on this planet and just echo the sentiments of society and live our lives in fear. It's easy to criticize. It takes no anointing to criticize, but we're not called to criticize. We're called to prophesy, and the anointing of God can rest upon you and awaken something within you that'll change the world around you if you are willing to step into that dimension. Atmosphere really matters. Fish don't have to learn how to swim. Just get them in the right atmosphere. And what do? They just swim. Angels in the atmosphere of the presence of God are what? Angels. But when you take them out of the atmosphere of God, they malfunction and they become demons. Kings, priests, and prophets in the atmosphere of God are kings, priests, and prophets. But when you take a king, priest, or prophet and remove them from the presence of God, they'll be enslaved to anything just like anybody else would. The atmosphere of your life is more important than I can say. And the Lord is wanting to release something of the kingdom atmosphere, even as we are in this room together, recognizing how God works and functions and awakens things within our hearts. Air is to the body what prayer is to the spirit. You know, have a friend, he was a pilot in the Air Force, and he said one of the things they did in training him to be a pilot was they took him up into an altitude where you couldn't breathe, like you would die if you didn't have oxygen. And he had on his mask, and he said they get you up to this altitude, and then they give you a notebook and a pen. And they say, we want you to write a letter to your mom. And then he said, he took the pen and the paper, and he said, Dear Mom. And then they said, okay, before you go on, I want you to remove your mask. So he took off his mask and he started continuing the letter to his mom. Before he knew what was going on, they were borderline wrestling him back against the wall to get the mask back on his face. And he said, it was mind-boggling because I just took my mask off just briefly and went right back to writing. But as I was trying to breathe, oxygen deprivation was taking place, and I had no idea until I came back to my senses, breathing oxygen, and I looked at the paper, and I said, Dear Mom, and as I wrote the first letter, the pen drooled down the side of the page. I was about to die. Had they not put that on my, I would have been unconscious and on my way to death. That's the thing about spiritual unconsciousness. Until something like this moment happens, you don't even realize that you have slipped into a state of spiritual unconsciousness. But God is wanting to awaken something where we begin to breathe in what God desires for us to possess so that we become more of who He's called us to be, so that our words carry weight. There's substance about our soul, fire in our eyes everywhere we go. We're not religiously pompous and arrogant. We're just empowered by God. And the greater our humility, the stronger our authority everywhere we go. I'm going to ask if we could step back into worship just for a few moments, just an atmosphere of worship. I'm going to give you a little instruction with it, but I want to share with you a story. There was this Iranian couple. Pastor Mark mentioned we work with I'm part of an apostolic team out of England. And Tracy and I have had ministry involvement in the UK now for 20 of our years of ministry. And it's been great just to connect with those leaders and be a part. We speak at conferences, business forums. I mean, different things have happened over there. But the thing that has been most impactful for me is the experience of a different culture of believers in a, you know, just a different perspective. Like, I could probably preach to you what it means to suffer persecution as a church. I could preach a message on that. But how many of you know if we actually had a pastor from Iran preaching to you right now about persecution in the church, or a pastor from China? Anybody ever read the book, The Heavenly Man? It's a crazy book. Guy in China and the torturous suffering he faced. He actually spoke at one of our events here, you know, years later out of all of this. It's amazing, though. You hear the heart of these types of people, and you start to realize, man, maybe we in America have just not really understood the faith the way God wants us to understand the faith. So I want you to hear this. There's this couple out of Iran. Now, get the picture. Horrible oppression for believers in Iran. They had to meet quietly. What you're hearing right now never happened. No music. They couldn't do that. They worshiped in silence. They would put their hands together and just worship in silence when they would gather secretly. And if they ever were discovered that they were actually gathering in the name of Jesus, then they would be beaten, imprisoned. The women would be raped. I mean, it would be a horrible, horrible situation. And their lives were at great risk to serve the Lord in Iran. And this couple, they actually got out of Iran. And they came to America. And they were blown away. They came into a room with seats like this and worship and drums and music. And they were just like, we can worship God. I mean, do you understand what a privilege we have in America? And they were just like, we can worship freely. And weeks go by and they're worshiping freely. And weeks go by and they're experiencing the Western culture of the church. And I'm going to ask in silence just for a moment. I want you to hear this, because in a place of worship, this woman leans over to her husband from Iran and she says these words, there is a satanic lullaby here in the Western world church. People are being lulled to sleep and I'm gradually growing sleepy. I want to go back. All of our sound systems, all of our buildings, all of our marketing, all of our advertisement, all of our show, we've made it more about presentation than we have about presence. We've made it more about preaching than we have about presence. That woman said, I'd rather go back and risk being abused, raped, and beaten to experience what God gives us in Iran in our gatherings than to stay in the Western world. Whew. Anybody here deeply challenged by that? As a pastor in the Western world, I'm deeply challenged. This is why Pastor Mark and this group of pastors were meeting routinely saying, Lord, what are you desiring to do to truly awaken something of a discipleship revelation in the body of Christ? Jesus didn't die so we could merely go to church. He died so we would become sons and daughters of God that carry the atmosphere of God's kingdom in our world in a profound and significant way. So I'm going to ask you, just as however the music would like to flow in this, I'm going to ask you, would you just pause for a moment? Because this is kind of the moment. I left a little extra time just so that we could take a few moments with this. Because this is the way it works in our Western world church. We come together, we sing our songs, we get our sermon, we get our altar call, maybe a little bit of altar ministry, and then we go. And what we've done is we've measured the speaker on basis of content and delivery to decide whether or not we like the message that day. We leave the room, and rarely do we nurture the revelation God had for us to possess. And revelation that is not nurtured will be lost in the kingdom of God. It's just the nature of the pearl of great price. Revelation that is not nurtured will be lost. So the more we treat church like a consumer service for Christians that come to get their church service done with so they can go on, the less we're going to experience the atmosphere of God's kingdom. So would you just, in these few moments that we have, just be prepared maybe to write anything down the Lord may reveal to you. Because this is what happens, what I'm learning in these types of moments where we actually make room. There just begins to be the spirit of prophecy that starts to show up. There begins to be an authority of God that begins to be awakened. Suddenly people start hearing what God is revealing. And so what you want to do with that when you sense that is just write that down so that you can reflect on that. Maybe a specific thing that the Lord's going to reveal to you for the church that you can present to your pastor this week. Maybe a word for somebody else. Maybe direction for somebody that you're going to fast and pray for and begin to believe God for their salvation. I'm just telling you, salvation is coming. We have a man in our church, and he said he began to pray for his three sons. The man is in his 60s. His three sons are in their 30s, 40s. And he said he began to pray, Lord, would you draw their heart to you and bring them back to Oklahoma City. They all three have contacted him within 2 months of him praying this prayer, and they're all three moving back to Oklahoma City. And now the oldest son has come to me, and he said, what my dad for me did for me, I'm doing for my kids. And he began to pray, Lord, would you reach my children for you? And his oldest son called him last week and said, Dad, I think I'm a Christian, but I don't really know how to do this thing. Like out of nowhere, he doesn't go to church. I'm just telling you, we're moving into a time of answered prayer if we'll pay attention to the atmosphere God wants us to possess. We are kings, priests, and prophets in the earth. Cultivating the atmosphere of God's presence is what activates and awakens those gifts. So come on, just incline your heart to Him. Open your mind and your heart to what God desires to reveal. Lord, I thank you that we didn't gather today to talk about you, but we came in this room to learn from you by your Spirit that exists within us when we surrender to the cross of Jesus Christ. Bring us, Lord, to a greater place of life, deeper awareness of your presence. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. God, just listen. Listen, pray. What's God desiring to speak to you? Just as we take a few moments. identified something in the Western world church, and it is this. There is an overstimulation and an underdevelopment. In other words, we get stimulated spiritually, but we're not necessarily developed the way we need to. And this is what I've learned. And this is no slam on the Western world church. Thank God he's waking us up to the greater purposes of God. But waiting on the Lord is boring in the underdeveloped, overstimulated church. That's why we don't have much silence, because we're just used to being stimulated. And I encourage you, this is not just like a church thing, like we are the church. This is you, prayer in your house. Like what we're doing right here, you can do this evening, this afternoon, tomorrow morning. Turn on music. Just press in. Take time and just press in. Lord, I just want to know you more. The atmosphere of the kingdom of God in our home. Something prophetic begins to be awakened. I have a prophetic word the Lord stirred for me over Pastor Mark. And I just release over this man of God, you have an incredible voice that awakens resilience in the lives of people. The sound of your voice awakens resilience in the lives of people. Under the sound of your voice, where the Bible likens us to eagles. Many people face the storm and they would respond to the storm like everybody else. But the eagle is not like any other animal when it comes to the storm. No eagle ever hides under a rock when a storm comes. Eagles actually use the gale force winds of the storm to soar to higher heights, breaking above the dark clouds into the open sunshine air above the storm. No other animal does that. But there is a sense of resilience that is awakened in the heart of believers as you begin to speak and release the word of the living God that will cause them to climb above the storm. They'll come out from hiding under rocks, no matter how discouraged or disappointed they've been. They will no longer live in a state of despondency, but your voice begins to awaken something of resilience that is activated in the lives of people. So I just release that over you, mighty man of God. The voice that God has given you is a voice by the Spirit of God. I know they had to step out and leave. He plays the guitar. She ran the sound. And I just declare, I don't know if this is being recorded or somebody can maybe just share with him, but I saw over her, she's Martha in her, the way she is so busy with what she does in her life. Not just here. I saw that spirit upon her. She is such a diligent, detail, specific person. You all know who I'm talking about. What's her name?
Carrie.
And so, diligent, detailed person. And then I saw her stand up here ready to pray for people, and I saw the spirit of Mary on her. Because, you know, there's Martha and there's Mary in the Bible, and Martha was all about the details, but Mary was at the feet of Jesus. And this woman carries this balance of that. I would suspect you probably don't want to mess with her, get in her way, or you know, create a problem that she has to deal with, because she'll jerk the slack out of your line. But at the same time, there's a sensitivity. And I just believe that's the type of balance God is bringing to your church, where you're going to have the ability to address and direct, be direct with what needs to be direct, but you're going to walk in such grace and love. And there are going to be some spiritual strongholds in your community that are going to have a reaction to the atmosphere of God's kingdom. The first demon Jesus ever kicked out, cast out of somebody, who happened in church.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about that. When you start addressing this and the atmosphere of God's kingdom come, it's going to cause a reaction spiritually. You're going to address and be direct, but somehow walk in this gracious love. And I saw that balance that she was carrying, and I just release that over you as a church family in Jesus' mighty name. You'll find the time and know the place to be at the feet of Jesus, and you'll also know when to make the preparations and address the things that need to be dealt with in a practical realm. Father, we love you. None of us are here trying to impress each other. We're just ultimately impressed with you, and we want to grow in that. I thank you for the work that you're doing right here in Leedy, Oklahoma, in this church family, and in this region. As it was with Paul and Silas, when they worshiped in a building, foundations were shaken, chains were broken, prisoners were set free. And people sleeping on the outside of the building woke up, not just physically, but spiritually. And I pray that in this room, that when this church family gathers, foundations will be shaken, chains will be broken, and people outside the building in this community will begin to wake up spiritually in a powerful and profound way. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Good. Wow. many of you have been awakened this morning? Me too. I want to speak, before I speak this blessing, I want us to be, I believe what the word says, that we're to honor, actually double honor, somebody that brings the word. And so we've got a giving basket back there that you can, I want to bless this family as they go on their vacation, their family vacation. And so we've got a giving basket back there. You can just make your check out to HFC if you're giving by check, or if you have cash, you can put it in envelopes, and we'll make sure that they get that before they leave today. They're going to go on their family vacation. Pastor Lawrence, thank you so much. That was a right now word for us as a church family, what God's doing in our midst. And just as we were sitting there, took me back to when we planted this church. And the Lord spoke to me and said, Mark, I've put a John the Baptist anointing upon this church to prepare the way for the Lord. And I believe, you know, the Lord's soon return is, he's coming very soon. And he's showing me that we're going to bring lots of people into the kingdom of God. And while Pastor Lawrence challenges us to just have that time of quietness before the Lord, brought me back to that. There was something my dad said today. Is my dad and I, we always, and my family always have communion up here together. There was something my dad said. I always had my dad pray over me and us. And something my dad said that really just, and I just want to do this too, as Pastor Lawrence had talked about, is to pay attention to what God is saying, is listen to the people that God's put around you, because God speaks through them too. And so my dad was praying over us, and he said something during his prayer that just really resonated with me. And he basically said this. He said, Father, we have sat in the shade of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil long enough. It's time for us to start sitting at the tree of life. He said, and that's what I feel like when we come to the communion table, that I'm sitting at the tree of life. That's just been going off in me this whole morning as Pastor Lawrence was preaching. And whenever he challenged us to be silent over here, I was thinking about, all of a sudden that came back to me, what my dad said. And I was thinking, yeah, that is so true. We have sat at the knowledge of good and evil forever. And I feel like this is what God's doing in the body of Christ for us pastors, and the fivefold ministry is getting the church to move from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil to the tree of life. And this is what I saw. I saw as we were moving, each of us were, you know, when you move, we're packing up our lawn chairs. That's what I saw, okay? And we all had individual lawn chairs that we were folding up as we were leaving the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we were going to the tree of life. And when I saw the tree of life, I realized we don't need lawn chairs, individual lawn chairs. There's like these big picnic tables underneath the tree of life. And God was saying, I'm trying to get people to quit having this individual mindset and this togetherness that we need. And I've said this, and I said it last Sunday, guys. I thank God for social media. I thank God for all that. But we need each other. We need each other. And so fold up your individual lawn chair and get at the picnic table with God and with one another. Amen. And let people get to really know you. And let's get to really know each other. Amen. All right. I'm going to release our blessing over us today as we go this morning. Numbers, and I want y'all to greet and meet Pastor Lawrence and his family and be a blessing to them back there at the back. But this is number 6, verses 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Hug somebody's neck and say, the Lord is invading earth. Amen. Heaven is invading earth.